1 Corinthians chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the laborers. Remember us dealing with the laborers? And that we are God's husbandry. You remember us talking about that? The husbandry is being the field, the farm, the vineyard, or the orchard, or whatever, and that's what we are. And we're to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. But I want us to go back tonight and look at these. You don't have to stand, but in 1 Corinthians 3, I want to look at verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 11 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "For we are laborers together with God." Didn't say for God, said with God. Amen. We pointed that out. "Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now look at this, God's building. Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us again. Father, give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, help us to discern the truth of God. Give us a spirit of discernment. And Lord, I pray tonight, may we have open hearts, open minds, and be receptive, Lord, to the Word of God. May it be applied tonight. May it not be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And Lord, we leave here, it not just be something we've heard that we just pass off. Lord, may it have a bearing upon our heart, and we'll give you the praise for what you do in the message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at the word in verse number 9, the word ye. He said, "Ye are God's building." Now, I want to say this. I want to remind you this. Keep this in mind while I'm bringing out the thought tonight. It did not say, "Ye are God's builders." You see that? Ye are God's building. There's a difference between the building and the builder. Amen? That's important. I want you to see this. It's some things that sometimes we overlook. But if the ye here, who are the ye? You'd have to go back to 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and I'll go back with you in my mind. And we'll find out that this letter is addressed to the church of God. Amen. The saints of the Lord. And it's actually addressed to the saints in every place. So this letter is written to the people of God. Actually written to the Gentile Christians, since more of them were Gentiles than they were Jews. He said, "Ye are God's building." Matter of fact, if you want to say it this way, this is the only building program God has in His Bible. Amen. It's the building of the church. Now, we can get stressed out sometimes in trying to build buildings and build ministries. But we are to be interested this afternoon in building the building of Christ. Sometimes I think about, "Lord, why would you even let me be a part of it?" Sometimes I think I'm so unworthy. You ever get to the place you think you're so unworthy to even be able to be a part of the work of God? I was thinking about that the other day, and I remembered something that a preacher had wrote one time, and I couldn't find it. I looked and looked and looked, and I kept a looking, and finally found it. It took me a little while to go back and look. And he said something like this. He said, "Next time you feel like God can't use you and you're not able or qualified or whatever, just think of this. God used Noah, and he got drunk. He said, God used Abraham, and he was too old for the world. God used Isaac, and he was a daydreamer. God used Jacob, and he was a liar." He said he was Esau. "He used Leah, and she is ugly. He used Joseph, and he was abused as a youth. His brothers didn't like him. He used Moses, and he had a speech problem. He used Gideon, and Gideon was afraid." You remember he said, "Give me the give me a sign. I got to have a sign." He had to have that, a fleece. Amen? And he used Samson, and he was a womanizer. He used Jeremiah and Timothy, and they were too young, according to the world's standards. He used David, and he had an affair and committed murder. He used Elijah, and he was suicidal. Amen. Sit on the juniper tree and wished he had died. Amen. And had a big spell of depression. He used Jonah. He ran from God. He used Naomi. She was a widow. He used Job, and he is bankrupt. He used Peter, and he denied Christ. He used the disciples, and they fell asleep while praying. He used Martha, and she worried all the time. He used the Samaritan woman. She had several divorces. He used Zacchaeus, and he was too small, and he had to climb a sycamore tree. And he used Paul. He is too strong and too religious for the world. Now, I'm not condoning those sins, but I'm telling you, you go to the Word of God and think you're going to find somebody that's perfect to carry the Word, and you won't find them. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace. Now, let's look at this little thought tonight. God's building. Now, the church is what He's talking about here. What is the building? It's the church. The church is God's building. Get this in your mind. Now, if you go to the book of Ephesians, you'll find out that the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the brotherhood of Christ. And the church is the battalion of Christ in chapter 6. They have to put on the whole armor of God. Now, going from that, we'll find that every building has to have an architect. Well, they won't let you build anything now unless you've got it all laid out, right? Amen. They won't do it. You've got to, every building's got to have an architect. Now, it might be somebody that puts it on paper. Might be somebody that's just got it in their mind when they're going to go build it. And they know what it's going to look like in their mind before they ever start. But you've got to have an architect. You can't just go drive a board here and a board there and nail this and have anything. You've got to have some kind of architect do it. Amen. And every architect is the creator or the designer of that building. And it has to come, that building has to come from the mind of the architect. He puts it on the paper and the plans, and he writes it out, and he puts it on the drawing board sometimes and gets it made and fixes up a blueprint. Now, that's how they build buildings in this day. That's how they build them all down through the centuries. It may not be as elaborate in some cases as others, but the building has to have that. Now, the church has to have an architect. Who is it? God Almighty. Amen. The builders take those plans. They build according to the plans. They don't take something else. They use the plans that are laid there that's been put out of the mind of the architect, and they begin to design it and lay it out like the designer said to do it, and they create that building, and they build that building until it's completed. Now, the mind of the church was in the mind of God, or the plan of the church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world was ever laid. God had it already fixed out. He's the divine architect. And what He did is He put it on paper. Did you know God drawed it out? Right here in the blessed book, how to build the church. Amen. And so before the world was ever laid, before it was ever created, before God ever brought man forth, God already had the plan of the church and the plan of the ages. Now look at verse number 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10, Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, he's a master builder. You said, preacher, you said we wasn't the builders. I'm talking about Paul for a minute. Get this in your mind. This is for a purpose. God put this here like He wanted it put. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So Paul is the wise master builder that has been given the plans from the mighty architect, and he began to lay it out as God told him to lay it out. Amen. I was riding up the road, I guess Monday morning, and as I come to work on Monday morning, and the thought come to my mind, and got to thinking about the Ark of the Covenant. You know the Ark of the Covenant? You know what I'm talking about when I say the Ark of the Covenant, don't you? We studied the tabernacle. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, the third position, there's the holy place, and then there's the outer court, the inner court, or middle court, and then the inner court, and we find the most holy place and the holy place, and that's where the priests went in offering blood sacrifices. been in the Holy of Holies. We remember the Ark of the Covenant was inside the Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat was over the top of that ark. And then the cherubims looked down over the mercy seat. But inside that Ark of the Covenant was three things. Get this in your mind. I'll give them to you. One of them was what? The Ten Commandments on two tables of stone, which represent the Old Testament and the New Testament. Then we find the rod, the almond rod that budded, and it was what Moses used to part the waters and many other mighty things. And then there was a golden pot of manna that was placed in that ark. And all these were as a memorial, and for a memorial of how God had provided for the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. And I said, one of them's got to represent something, Lord. And another's got to represent something else. And the other's got to represent something else. And I said, Lord, what is it? And I was trying to get it all fixed up and trying to make it work out and plan. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, they're all a type of the Word of God. Now think about this. The two tables of stone, what are they? Brother, there's the Ten Commandments on that. It's the law. The law of Moses. Amen. And the Bible said that the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Amen. The law is preached. That's the Word of God that we have preached to us. And I get to thinking about it sometimes. Amen. We talk about the strong preaching. Brother, we need some strong preaching to wake us up. That's what the law does. The law shows us that we are failures. The law shows us that we come short. The law shows us that we cannot come up to par. And I got to thinking about that. The Word of God is like water. Amen. It's represented as water in the Word of God. And sometimes you have the flowing water. And sometimes you have the still water. The flowing water is that Word that's preached to us that begins to cleanse us and change us and move us and motivate us. But you take sheep, they can't drink from the running waters. They've got to have the still waters. Amen. That's why David said, he leads me by the still waters. Brother, he talks about that. Means us in that path. Puts them down the still waters, and that's where we get our refreshment. When we study the Word of God, amen, we are taking in the Word. And brother, we are getting strengthened, and we take it. And sometimes we're in the Word of God, and it's a working us over. It's a doing some cleansing. You put a sheep out in the rough water. Brother, I'll tell you, it'll clean that wool. Amen. But he can't get much. He'll drown if he tries to drink. But I'm telling you, that's what the Word of God does. And then we come to the rod. The rod, brother, is what leads us and directs us. And that's what the Word of God does it not? It leads us. It directs us. It guides us. Amen. It tells us where we need to go south or north. It tells us where we need to go east or west. It tells us where we can do this or that. And brother, we ought to take the rod of the Word of God. It guides us. And then I thought about that golden pot of manna. What does that manna do? It feeds us, and that's what the Word of God does, feeds us. And it sustains us, and it continually feeds us. Here's the amazing thing I thought about as I was looking at that. You know the manna? You know what they did? They went out every morning, and they got enough manna to provide for themselves and the family for all day. Now, if it's hoggish, amen, and got too much, what happened to it? It bred worms, the Bible said, and stank. Amen. Because it's selfish and got too much. But now what happened if it didn't get enough? It would stretch and it would go to the next day. Amen. Now the miracle part of that is God put a golden pot of manna inside that Ark of the Covenant and they didn't change that every day. Brother, God protected that and took care of it for the length of the time and the service that they went through the wilderness, showing us that God can and does and has and will preserve His Word. Brother, He's preserved it for us down through these years. Thank God I've got a preserved Word tonight to preach out of. Now let's go back to this, thinking about it just for a minute as we look into this building project that God's got here. Now my ministry and your ministry and my work and your work, guess what's going to happen? We are, as we work every day, to make improvements. And that's what our job is to make improvements to the building that God has already built, which is the church. Now turn to Ephesians. Slide over, hold your place there in 1 Corinthians, but go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, that sweet little chapter. I love that chapter. Brother talks about the dead in Christ and we were quickened, you know, who were dead in Christ. We've been made alive. But I want us to go to chapter 2 and go down to a little verse called 10. Verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10.
He said, for we are His, what's that big word? Workmanship. Created where? In Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what we're created for, by the way. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that we walk in His presence and in His Word, and He has already created us in days past, brother, and put us in as we are His workmanship. Now, if you look it up, that word workmanship just simply means a masterpiece. Amen. God said that the church is His masterpiece. Now, the world don't understand this. They can't see the church. They talk about the church. They laugh at the church. Some folks are involved in the church but never know what it is to be part of the church. They're looking at the physical side. There's two sides when we talk about the church. One is the church of the living God, which is made up of born-again believers, and the others are those who are making professions and being religious. And they call themselves the church, but they are not the true church. Is that right? All right. So what happens is, He said, you are My workmanship. You're My masterpiece. Now, what God is saying is this: one of these days, I'm building every day, and one of these days, I'm going to continue to build and build and build and build and put the church together, that one of these days, I'm going to put the church on display. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible said in verse number 26, in Ephesians 5, 26, He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. We talked about the water just a minute ago. But now what He does, He takes the water, the Word, washes us and cleanses us. And He's talking about the church, and He said that He's going to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the Word. Now He goes on to verse number 27, that He might what? Present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. Now, I haven't seen a church like that in my days. Amen. Have you? Amen. I haven't been a part of it. If I was to find one, I'm not going to join it. I'd mess it up. That's right. But the Bible teaching me here that one of these days He's going to put us on display. We are the building of God, the church of God, and He's going to put us on display through the ceaseless ages to show the world what God can do with His grace to save an old wretch like you and me. Amen. What a blessing that is. And thank God to know that. I just appreciate the opportunity to know that. How that God can take an old vile, unholy, ungodly, no good, no count sinner out of the pits of hell and redeem him and put him into the body of Christ or into the building of Christ and make him a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend it. Now, we're looking at something here. Did you know one of these days the church is going to reflect the glory of God like the sun every day reflects the creation of God? That creation, when the sun comes up in the morning, that creation God's made begins to show all the good things that God has done. And I get amazed. I'm marveled at the things that God shows me, the way the world is. Just looking out even in a day that we are today and seeing the leaves flow off the trees and how that they hit the... I don't like the looks of them when they hit the ground, but it's pretty to watch God do His Word and how He changes the season and tells the birds what to do and the trees what to do. And creation obeys Him. And we may not know what's past our nose, but God has already revealed to the animals and the creation of the world what's fixing to happen. Amen. And they've got more sense than we have. But I'm telling you tonight, God does that and He shows it to them. And He's going to put us on display. I thank God for it. And we're going to magnify His glory down through the years. Now, God's trying to build a superstructure. That superstructure's the church. Brother, I'm glad I'm part of it. He said here tonight in 1 Corinthians, He said, ye are God's building. God's building. Look at verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3 again. Go back to verse number 10. Pull out something else. First two things, I want to look at this. Paul said in the middle of that verse, I have laid the foundation. You see that? I have laid the foundation. Look at verse 11. He said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What kind of foundation did Paul lay? Now what Paul is trying to tell you here, and I want to kind of get this fixed in our minds. Back yonder in the Old Testament, God brought Moses up to Mount Sinai. You remember Mount Sinai? When he come up on Mount Sinai, Moses was there 40 days and 40 nights. And God gave him two tables of stone, and with his fingers he wrote the Ten Commandments on it and said, "This is the law." Of course, we know all the story about what happened. They had to go back and do it again the second time. But we came off the mountain there with the Word of God, and Brother God said, "This is the law." And so Moses got that law, and that stayed in play. It went all the way down. Now, when the church is starting to be in process, it's got something else different to preach than the law. Amen. We're not under law tonight. We're under grace. Aren't you glad? If we was under law, brother, we'd done be dead, most of us. We done broke the law too much. And some of us, that's why he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life." The wages of sin is death. We'd have done been dead physically. But I'm telling you tonight, the grace of God's moved in. And that's why God can use us tonight in a mighty way for the glory of God. But so as Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he gave the law. We'll find in the Arabian desert in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, and we've been over this, that Paul was called over there into that desert. And somewhere close to where this mountain was, Mount Sinai, Brother Paul has got a revelation of God. And God said, "Paul, I'm going to give you a foundation to build on, and you're going to become the master builder, and you're going to go down and preach, and brother, you're going to go down and lay it out, and here's what the foundation is. Paul, the foundation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Nowhere else in the Bible did you ever find that preached. Think about it. Till Paul preached it. On the day of Pentecost, he said, Peter did, and I went over this some time back, Peter stood there and said, "What you done, you by wicked hands, you kill the Messiah. You took his life, and you blotted out the kingdom." And they begin to ask, "When's the kingdom going to take place?" But see what happened? God has revealed to Paul, the master builder, and said, "Paul, you're going to go down there and preach, and this is the foundation that you're going to lay, and nobody can build any other foundation or lay any other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Ain't you glad we got that foundation? I am. Praise God for it. Paul said to Peter, to Timothy one day, he said, "This foundation is a sure foundation." That's what he said. He told him that in the book of Timothy. He said, "It's a sure foundation. I've laid that foundation. It's a sure foundation." Amen. He wrote it to him in 2 Timothy 2:19. Sure. It's a sure foundation. Now, what's that word sure mean? Immovable. It means steadfast. It means unchanging. It means it's sure that you can count on it. It'll never fade away. And what is that sure, steadfast foundation? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And outside that, we have no gospel. We have no foundation. Amen. And so Paul's laying this out. So he's saying, hey, you're God's building. You are the building. Now, you remember the story in the book of Matthew, chapter 7? The Bible said, "He that doeth these sayings, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock." And he comes along and gives it again. He said, "I liken unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." The Bible talks about the two foundations that you can build on the rock, you can build on the sand. And if you're not built upon the salvation of God or upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're built on quickening sand and you'll fade away one day. The wind's going to come. Judgment's going to find you. And you'll perish. Just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. But I'm glad, thank God, He give us a right and wise foundation. Now, human minds and the human eyes cannot comprehend the church. We can look at it, and it looks like an organization, institution, but we don't see much beauty in it except those who are inside it. Amen. The church means more to me than it does to the lost man. He can go by and laugh at it and make fun of it and not have any respect for it and have no reverence for it at all. But I go by a church and I see it and I say, thank God, that's a place of worship where God meets with His people. Amen. And if some of those that they're not worshiping, you know, exactly right. I say, at least God could meet with them if they'd get willing. Amen. So, it's something alongside the road. I thank God for it. Now, man has been building upon other foundations. Trying to, at least. Bible said, of the foundation can no man lay that which is laid. You remember, it starts back in the book of Genesis. They built the Tower of Babel. And they tried to build it. What did they build it for? Anybody remember what they built it for? To make themselves a name. That's what it says. Go back and read it. They built the Tower of Babel to make themselves a name. That's going to climb up to heaven. It's going to get that way another way besides the way God wants them to. And they're going to build themselves and make themselves a name. Well, I got news for you. God is one that's going to build something, and He's going to continue to build it, and He's building it high, and He's adding to it every day, and He's going to build it to make Himself a name. He's already got it anyhow, a name that no man, amen, I want to tell you right now, can surpass. And at the same time, it's going to be a name that every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess to. So He's building Himself a tower tonight, and I thank God for it, amen, and give God the glory for that. But religion has come along, built their foundations, or took different foundations. You'll find tonight that the Jehovah's Witnesses built on a different foundation. The Catholics have built on a different foundation. The Mormons are building on a different foundation than them three, or them other two. The Christian Science are building on their foundation. The Seventh-day Adventists are building on their foundation. Muslims and Islam is building on a different foundation. The Buddhists, amen, the Hinduism, and the Confucius, and all those are building on different foundations than what God's given us. But if it's not built upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is not a true religion. Amen. Now that's a statement that you folks agree with, but that makes a lot of folks mad. Amen. To know that you knocked the foundation out from under them. Now let me just tell you something about that foundation. Did you know that foundation tonight is so deep, amen, that it goes to the very pits of hell and even below? Because that foundation is so deep that it'll go down. Somebody told me when they built the Empire State Building, that when they went to build that, they went all the way down to bedrock and built that on because they didn't think it was going to crumble. They didn't want it to fall. I got news for you. It's earthly. It will fall anyhow one day. But I've got a foundation that goes to the, amen, to the depths of the earth. See, God said He'd say to the uttermost. Praise God. That is way from God. Amen. That means He'll say the wicked, the most vile. I mean, the most ungodly. Thank God His love is strong enough and long enough that He can reach to the bottom of the pits of hell and pick up somebody and save them and reach the highest universe and bring them together in the love of God and save their soul. Isn't that good to know tonight we've got a foundation? Now, he's talking about the foundation Paul is here. Go to Ephesians, back in Ephesians tonight, chapter 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to look at this. He's talking about we are God's building. And then I'll apply some things and then we'll have to quit because we got so much else to bring out of these other verses that we won't have time for. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, look at the Word. Ephesians 2:19 said, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now that has to do with building. And then it said in verse number 20, "And are what? Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Amen. Now, what was the foundation of the apostles? Amen. Well, when it's all said and done, what was it? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, he said right here, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief, what? Cornerstone. You've got to have a starting place. Now, the Lord says, and I want you to look at verse 21. He said, "In whom also the building," look at the next little word, said what? "Fitly," amen, "fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." God said what He does is He goes out there in the world and He finds those and brings them in and He builds them fitly. Now, fitly means that they all fit. That's deep theology right there. Amen. That means there's no crack in the building of God. Amen. It's not wobbly. And it's not just thrown together. God said, "What I do is I'm building this church and you're my building, and when I build this church, you're going to be fitly framed together. You're going to be knit together, and I'm going to bring you to the chief cornerstone. And when I bring you to the chief cornerstone, it's going to bring you to others, and you're going to be joined together, fitly framed together in Jesus Christ. Amen. So He brought me to Christ. At the same time, He brought you to Christ. And now we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're fitly framed together. Amen. That's a blessing to know that. And see here, He said in verse 22, "In whom ye also are built together," see, there's us, "for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, turn with me in 1 Peter, into the book of 1 Peter. Peter's got something to say, too, about the church. And so he says in 1 Peter, he says in chapter number 2, and let's read verse number 4. I believe we read this the other day. He said, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are" what? "Lively stones." Amen. He said, "are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." So God brings us together to the starting point. The starting point is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is Jesus. And Jesus is the foundation. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, we've all been brought to Christ. Amen. You say, "I hear that all the time." You're going to keep on hearing it because that's what I preach. Amen. Because there's no salvation outside Christ. Now, let me just give you this, throw this in. In the old temple, in the Testament, in the Old Testament over there, they go build that temple. And by the way, let me throw this in too as well. When the Ark of the Covenant, I told you, had three pieces of things in it, and we went over that a while ago. When you get over in the book of Kings and you get over in the book of Chronicles, when they built the tabernacle or the temple, not the tabernacle in the wilderness, but the temple, you'll find it didn't have nothing, and it said that it only had the two tables of stone. Didn't have the manna then. Didn't have the rod in it. God done lifted them and took them out. Said, "Where'd they go?" Went to heaven. Amen. Didn't need them no more. Why? They had the Word of God from then on to direct them and not the rod. They weren't wandering in the wilderness anymore. And they didn't need the golden pot of manna. When they come out of Egypt and went into the wilderness on the 40th year when they went out of that and got into the new land or in the land of Canaan, the Bible said they began to eat of the old corn of the land and they had no need for manna no more. And God began to feed them the rich things of God. Kind of type of growing up in the Lord, and that's basically what it is. So we find that that took place. Now, when we get to the Word of God here, we'll find that the Lord's given us something fitly framed together, and we're the temple. And they're not building a tabernacle, but they're building the temple. So what did He do? They got them all together and said, "We want you to go into the forest. We want you to go to the cedars of Lebanon." How many's ever heard of the cedars of Lebanon? Amen. It's all through the Bible. And they'd go take them cedars of Lebanon, and they'd cut those cedars of Lebanon down, and they would cut them out, make them boards, and hew it out what they was going to do in the way that they had. Somebody said, "Boy, in a crude way back yonder." Hey, man, I don't know if it's as crude as you think they were. We used to think people in the Dark Ages, but I'll tell you, they're pretty smart. But they went back and built that. And they bring them old cedars of Lebanon down there, and they would build the tabernacle, or the temple. I want to keep saying tabernacle, and it was a tabernacle, but let's talk about a temple for a minute. And that's where they worshipped, in the temple. And they'd put that Ark of the Covenant inside that temple. But here they are in that temple. They'd take them cedars of Lebanon. The next thing they would do is they'd go down to the rock quarry, and they'd get them old rough rocks and stones, there's no good, and they'd dig them out, they'd haul them up, and they would chip away at them and begin to hew those big rocks and put them in place and put them cedars of Lebanon and other things that they would put that temple together with, and they'd put it all together. And it all fitly framed together, and they did it that way. Now, you say, "What you getting at?" I'm this right here. Now, in the day of grace, God goes out in the world with the Holy Spirit of God and he goes out to seek out a bride, and he brings them to Christ, preaches the Word of God. What does he preach to them? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to put you on the foundation. He takes them old cedars of Lebanon, which is you and me, out in the forest of the world, where we've got our root system in there, looking like the world, smelling like the world. He cuts us down out of the world, hews us down, and makes good looking wood out of us, and puts us in the temple of God, the house of God, the building of God, the church. And there he is. And he puts us there. And we tonight have been placed there. Them old stones, it's no good. Brother, he began to chip away. He's a chipping on me every day of my life. You know what he's trying to do? Get me fitly framed together in that tabernacle, in that house of God. He's put me in the church. And every day of my life, he's working on me. Every day of your life, he's working on you. He's trying to shape us up and form us up. He's a planing a little here, sanding a little there, cutting a little there. Brother, he's a hammering on us here. Brother, he's a chipping on us there. And he's getting us ready, putting us together. He's going to put us on display one of these days for the glory of God. We are part of the church. We are the building of God. Amen. I'm getting excited myself to think about I can be something finally. Never been anything. I'm going to be something one of these days. Now, you said, what is all that for? Well, how many of you can see the two before walls in here tonight? I don't see no two befores. They're in there, though. How many sees the rafters? They're up. Who sees the floor seals? You don't see them, but you've got to have them. Amen. Well, here we are in the body of Christ, in the habitation of God, in the building of God. He's cut us those cedars out of Lebanon down, brought us out of the world, put our root system in Him, put us up. And guess what? Brother, we're not seen anymore. Well now, preacher, this kind of burst my bubble. I kind of thought we was going to be put on display. We are. You know what He's going to do? Brother, old cedars of Lebanon, them old stones and whatever thing He takes to put in a build on that foundation. You know the foundation can't be seen either. Who is the foundation? Jesus Christ. But guess what happens? He puts us old cedars of Lebanon, us old stones, it's no good, in that building. And then they come in and He puts the sheetrock and everything else. Amen. And you see it tonight. It looks like a good building. It'd be ugly if we didn't see that tonight. Amen. Well, you said, what's He put on us? Sheetrock? No. He puts the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the good things of God on us. And we're to shine up and down in this world and let the people know up and down this country that we've been saved by the grace of God. They shouldn't see me. They shouldn't see you. They should see Christ. Amen. That we're in tonight, praise God, because we are the righteousness of Him. Are you with me tonight? Praise God. And that puts it in a different perspective, don't it? You said, we're going to be put on display. Yes, sirree. But they're not going to be looking at you and me. Brother, throughout the ceaseless ages, what they're going to see is the righteousness of God. You said, you mean we're just the old studs hanging up in the wall? That's about right. That's all we're fit for. Amen. You can paint us. You can nail us, you can do saw us and do a lot of things, but they're still the same thing. But brother, you put the righteousness of God on us and it makes a difference. I'm not what I used to be. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God tonight I've been bought with a price. And so now He's polishing me. He's working on me. Every little trial I go through. Amen. God tells me sometimes, this is going to hurt, but it's for your good and it's for my glory. Amen. And every trial I go through, God reminds me that He's trying to get me ready. Amen. To be put on display. Sometimes I look around and I say, Lord, back off a little bit. You're skinning me. You're polishing too much. Amen. But God just keeps working on us. We need to be put in that building tonight. And we're built on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading with me. He says in our text tonight that we are God's building. We are. Nothing else will work. We are what God put us to be. He said in the Word of God, in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Ye are God's building. Now sometimes we think we're the builders. Who is the builder?
I'm closing this one. I'm closing it this way tonight. Actually, who is the one that's doing the building? Now, Jesus is the foundation. We're building on Him. But now, just stop a minute. Who is the builder? The Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. He's the one that's picking the cedars of Lebanon. He's the one that's picking the right stones. He's the one that's doing the work. You said, I thought we was building the church. Busted your bubble, didn't I? Amen. He said, you're God's building. In other words, we are the church. I've built you. I've made you. I've loved you. I've cherished you. I'm putting you out there where you need to be. Amen. We're laborers. Amen. With God. Now, you know how what He does through the Spirit of God? He uses me and He uses you to witness to somebody, to bring them in to be part of the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. Amen. Ain't you glad you're part of the building? Amen. Well, now we're going to find out later how we build on it. Boy, I got to looking at this, and I've preached it different ways and looked at it, and I know it's the type of our Christian life we would build on. But I'll tell you what, we stand before God, we're going to give account by the way we build on this foundation. We've got to have the right foundation or it ain't going to work. Right? But we got to build the right things on that foundation as well. So we're going to talk about that later. I hope it'll help you tonight. We are God's building. We're His building. The church is God's. Now the body is Christ. What's the church? The church is the body of Christ. But the church is God's building. Amen. And they're in there together. And the Spirit of God does the work to get it done. Amen. Heads bowed. I trust it'll help you. Amen. Thank God for the building, the church. And that's looking at verses 9 down through verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation that you can build on. Thank God for that. He is the foundation.